What's good, Waging World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada, but my heart is in Houston, Texas. I'm in here with my two co-hosts. First of all, we're going to go with Age Before Beauty, the OG of the show, man, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. He's been with me since day one. What's good, Spreader? Still, how are you?
Man, yeah, I'm being a Sacramento Kings fan, tough being a Las Vegas Raiders fan this weekend, but we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show.
And of course, my YG, he's been with me since the inception. That's my dog, the youngest dude to ever run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip, Casino Royale.
Wow, what's good, Five Star? What's up, Agent Ruff? What's up, Spread? I like the way you put that since the inception. We got to start rolling with that one. But yeah. I'm ready for another show, man. I got to get back on track, dude. I don't know what's been wrong, man. These past 3 weeks, they've been on me. Jesus Christ.
You know what's wrong with your ass ain't watching them games. You know I taught you to watch the games, man. You try to not watch the games. Stop ducking that bullets. Get in
That's
there
what
and
it
watch
is.
The games and live with it. Calm your ass down and watch the games.
That's what it is.
You got to watch the games.
Big brother,
you That's
Big
what you're doing. You trying to do that number bidding blind. You know you watch the games.
Hey, but then again, another thing I'm trying to do, Five Star, I'm trying to adjust. I'm trying to do like you, no lie, salute. Five Star, man, just seeing him how he is as a family man and operate as a father. Oh, yeah. My God. And still do all the business and handle his stuff, like, you know, in a timely manner. And keep punctual with it. Oh, my God. Big brother, I salute you. And I'm just trying to get on that level. And I'm still trying to do a little bit of justice.
You trying to manage both. It's hard, bro. Because you're young. You know, I know you got a young lady. And y'all have a beautiful daughter. You know, so y'all dealing with a lot. You know, as you mature together and grow together, best of luck with all that. Stay focused on the family first always. You know that. So, family time. I know you run around. You got to do like me and have that phone in your pocket with the game going. You can peek down and see what's going on, man. Because you got to put your eyes on these guys. Without us looking at them, we don't know much. You know, a picture doesn't tell the whole story. We have to really see what's going on with everything. Speaking of that, first of all, you guys hit the like. If you're in there with the Waging World right now, we appreciate you for tuning in. You guys hit that like. We're starting to get more likes. I appreciate that. We're getting more viewers. We're getting more subscribers. Everything's up. We're trying to do this organic, man. Everything's organic over here. We don't want any bots giving us any followers. We don't want any bots, you know, making our show bigger than what it is. Nope. We're going to do it the old school way. Real, natural, organic. Just a group of people who love betting sports enthusiasts, man. Good, positive people. We're going to always make money on the Waging World, man. We've been doing it for 3 years. We plan to continue. Jaden Daniels beats Joe Burrow. It's funny to me because I go to a lot of LSU games, and I just went to the one with USC, the first half at least. And when I went, I remember saying to my wife, I see all these Joe Burrow jerseys. I even see some damn Tommy Hodson jerseys. He ain't played since the 80s, you know, Tommy. You probably even know who Tommy Hodson is, Spread.
No.
Tommy Hodson. I know.
Don't remember that guy.
He was number 13 at LSU. He's a big fan favorite. They had him. I see some, what's the old school guy? Burt Jones, number 7 jerseys. I'm seeing all these. I didn't see one Jaden Daniels jersey. And it tripped me out. I'm like, why is the fan base not being on Jaden? I know he transferred there and everything, but he won the Heisman. You know, like, he was the best player in the country. And as you guys know, I've been a fan of Jaden Daniels all the way since he was at Tempe when he first came from Bakersfield, California. Man, as a freshman, I saw a lot in the kid. And the biggest thing that I always liked about him was his ability to step up. He's not afraid of the moment. You know, he's a guy who keeps himself calm, and he's a really good passer. And that's what people don't understand. When you have that type of athleticism with the type of accuracy that he has, it's real trouble. Cliff Kingsbury back doing what he does best, calling plays, being the OC, having a good time. Being homies with the quarterback, he's doing a great job over there early with Washington. Right now, if you're a GM, I'm going to start with you, Spread. You take Jaden Daniels or you take Joe Burrow?
I had to say, I'm still taking Joe Burrow. Let me give you some of my ideas on why Cincinnati is struggling this year. I think the cheapness of this organization is finally coming home to roost. They're refusing to pay these guys. They let a bunch of guys walk out the door. And the guys that have earned their money are not getting it. And I think that's trickling down. You see a guy like Ja'Marr Chase. Well, what do you got to do? What do I got to do to get paid? I can understand if I'm just, you know, you're not paying on potential, but those are results. Those are proven results. Arguably the best wide receiver in the league, definitely a top 5 receiver in the league. and he can't get his money while Jefferson's getting his money, CD's getting his money, Ayuk getting money. I'm Jamar. I'm saying y'all paid Ayuk that much, and I can't get my money. And they let too many guys go on the defensive line. And I think at a certain point, when you know you're working for a cheap organization, and I'm worried Joe Burrow is going to end up like Carson Palmer, man, where he's wasting all this time with this terrible organization. You know, and they paid him, so they kept him in house. But that was my worry when he went there to start, and he was so good, he was able to overcome it. But I think after a while, it just trickles down. So I'm not downgrading Jaden Daniels. I still think he's going to be a great player. I just think that Burrow's been dealt a tough hand, kind of like how Washington was before they got rid of Daniel Snyder. But this new ownership group seems to be doing things right. So things are looking up in Washington, and the cheapness of the Cincinnati Bengals is going to bring them back to the bottom where they've been for most of our lives.
All right, real briefly on what you said before I swing to you, so you know, and get your opinion on the situation. You're totally right about them being cheap. As we always talk about, it's one thing that's common with teams that are good. They have a good owner. Like the Astros' whole organization changed the moment that Jim Crane became the owner. You know, so everything is about the ownership down. When it starts, the ownership passes to the GM, from the GM down to the coach. So you're correct on that. Cincinnati has been cheap forever. I still remember a story T.J. Housmanzada had on Fox talking about the fact that when he first got there, they were still throwing guys used jock straps. You know, like, what the hell? This the NFL jock strap.
The defensive lineman said that they made him pay for the vending machines. Y'all can't even get a soda in there without putting 75 cents.
You got to put
thing.
Your money in there to buy soda from a company that you work for, $1 million company. You're making this organization millions of dollars. And I'm sure when Paul Brown, the late great coach who started the Cleveland Browns whole run back in the game with Jim Brown and stuff, started that organization and broke away from Cleveland, he didn't expect Cincinnati to turn out how it became, and his relatives later on in life are living by the wrong model. Yeah, they're going to run everyone away from Cincinnati. Jamar Chase has already told his homeboy. He told Burrow, I'm out. He already told him he's through negotiating. He said he won't talk about his contract again until it's over, because he's leaving. Like, he's letting them know, basically, I'm out. You know, like, I'm not staying over here with this mess. So, you're right, Cincinnati is very cheap. What do you think, Cino? Do you take Jaden Daniels or you take Joe Burrow if you're a GM starting team?
Well, basically, in this situation, I already seen, you know, Joku play a lot of games in tough situations. So I would have to roll with him right now. But the way the game's evolving and stuff like that, Jaden Daniels, man, he would definitely be a go-to guy also. But like you said, I take Joe Burrow right now. But Jaden Daniels, he played a phenomenal game the other night. You can't take that from him. They scored on every drive, 5-star. He's looking real good. And before we got on the average telling spread, I think that's going to be the spark that he needed, you know, to go on the road into Cincinnati. I don't care what the organization is going through. We still a team. We here to win. To go get that win like that, the way they did in that fashion, he threw 21 for 23, 254 yards. I feel that was good for him. He had a rushing touchdown. I think his confidence is where it's about to be, 5-star. So we got to look out for the Washington Commanders.
I definitely say watch out for the Commanders, especially as the years pass, they are lined up with the right guy. This is my thing. I'm going with Jaden Daniels. And the reason why is this. Injuries. No injury history in Jaden Daniels' whole career playing football. He's never sat out multiple games for anything major. Burrow has been hurt in high school. He's been hurt in college, you know, and he's been hurt in the pros. So we're dealing with a guy who's shown that he, you know, his availability isn't always there. Also, if you look at these guys operate from the pocket, it's not a huge difference right now. You know, Burrow just has more snaps, but I think that Jaden Daniels definitely has the ability to reach his level as far as being a passer. But now let's talk about the escapability and the athleticism. It's a big difference there. Burrow's one of the more competent quarterbacks. He's not super fast, but he can move a little bit, you know, especially before he got injured. He was pretty good in running in college and stuff, but nothing like Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, the only guy who's on this level is Lamar, man. He's the only one with that type of speed in the league. But the difference between – you're going to tell me that if a GM says today you can get Lamar Jackson, but he can throw 70% completion percentage and he can hit go routes on the money, you know, he could – the thing that Lamar struggles with is accuracy in the intermediate range, and that's where Jaden Daniels kind of excels at, you know. And they were showing his passing chart. Cliff Kingsbury has found out something I knew a long time about Jaden. if you go to the right side of the field, he's automatic. So he calls a lot of the pass plays to the right, but I'm sure that's going to change up. He's going to have to start swinging his head and looking on the left side of the defenses. But if he's, you know, got the right play call and the guy's open, he's hitting them on the money, man. So I personally go with Jaden. It's just only because I think you have more usage. Like, longer down the line, I think that he's lasting a little bit longer than Burrow, because Burrow has shown before, as I said, that he's a fragile athlete. Also, I don't like how Burrow's kind of Hollywood now, man. He's kind of doing a little too much. And remember, this started a couple years ago. We saw the change in him with all of this stuff. After he won the Super Bowl, he's kind of hanging with some guys that I don't know about. He might be at some of them Diddy parties, you know what I'm saying? So
after he went there.
Yeah, I think he'd be at some of them Diddy parties. So you got to, you know, watch Burrow with all the extravagant lifestyle, too. I like boring guys at quarterback, you know, that you don't hear much from, who not trying to hang with all the fly guys. Speaking of quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders. I know you guys saw that performance.
Real quick, before we switch to college, I want to talk to you about the other quarterback we saw on Monday night.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'll tell you a man that I'll take Jaden Daniels 10 times out of 10. And that's the media darling. Supposed to be the next John Elway. He was supposed to be the next Andrew Luck, right? Best prospect we saw in 10 years. Trevor Lawrence has been absolutely mediocre.
Yeah.
And I don't see it getting any better. And I hear people blaming Doug Peterson. How many excuses? He got Christian Kirk. He got Gabe Davis. Right? I mean, you draft Brian Thomas Jr. How many excuses are we going to make for this guy? What's going on with Trevor? Is this going to be like a Sam Darnold situation? Is he going to have to get cast off and reclaimed by two franchises before he ever does anything? They overpaid him, and I think the Jaguars are in trouble. They put a lot of salary cap into a man that's probably the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. He was supposed to change the franchise, and nothing that I'm seeing screams. It wins above replacement. He's the replacement. Five-star. You're really good at scouting these quarterbacks. What's going on with Trevor, and is there hope in Jacksonville?
We talked about this earlier, maybe a few shows ago. Trevor Lawrence got something going on in his personal life. I could tell. Like, it goes over into the field. You know, if something's going on, I don't know. Hopefully everything's all right with him and his young wife, because they're very young and got married, you know. So hopefully they're not into it behind some stuff, you know. But whatever's going on, it's something from the shoulder up with him. And it's so bad, it's affecting him from the shoulder down, because physically he doesn't even look like the same guy. He's making some horrible throws. He's never been the most accurate guy, but he's selling everything, man.
That's
he's
what I was not just telling
anybody, bro. He's missing everybody. And another thing we've seen, as another thing we kind of touched base on before on the show earlier this season, was about his coach. His coach just had the same thing happen, Doug Peterson, in Philadelphia. We saw a complete turnaround from Carson Wentz being one of the guys in the league that they thought was going to be one of the brightest stars, to him becoming a bum and doing basically the same thing we're seeing from Trevor Lawrence. Like, it's the exact same pattern. So how much of that, you got to attest that to Doug Peterson? Is Doug Peterson getting to these guys? Is he having a disconnect with some of these young guys? So we know young guys are a little bit different nowadays, man. They're a little bit, they're in the social media. They're kind of Hollywood now. Doug, like I said before, he's from Monroe, Louisiana, right where I grew up at as a kid. I played with his brother. I know his family. They're some hard asses. His dad a tough guy. You know, they just regular, hardworking people. So a lot of times, just a disconnect between younger players and older coaches. Maybe him and Doug Peterson aren't seeing eye to eye. You know, I haven't been seeing any pressures or paying attention to what Doug has been saying about the situation, because maybe I'll look into that and watch a little video. Well, Friday when we come back, I can give a little bit more, but I'm going to look into that, man, and do a little bit research on it. But I think that Trevor Lawrence will be successful in the NFL one day, only because he's just a dude that does everything right. You know, so if you're doing everything right off the field and you're putting in the work like you're supposed to, sooner or later you're going to see the results. I think it's something off the field going on with him, and I also think it's a disconnect with him and Doug Peterson. But once again, what are we talking about? Jacksonville Jaguars, another franchise that perennially hasn't done a good job with its ownership putting a good product on the field. So we put these guys in these bad organizations and expect them to change everything. And, you know, like, they're not Jesus, bro. They can't save these whole organizations. You got to have people to help you. These are major corporations. People don't understand that the NFL team is a corporation in America. It's a $1 billion corporation. So we put a lot on these quarterbacks and these kids and expect them to save them. But if we're dealing with bad management, Colin Cowherd, one of his best points he ever used to make on the show was bad management. If you got bad management, you'll never succeed.
Sino, what are you seeing out there? A lot of missed throws. I mean, Peterson, the issue, he needs someone kinder and gentler down there to gas him up. What's going on with Trevor, Sino?
I definitely couldn't have put it no better than 5-star. But if I put myself in Trevor's shoes, you know, I'm a first-round draft pick, pick number one overall. Just in the state that I am, I'm just losing, like 5-star said, and I'm having stuff off the field. Again, that all goes back down to being a man and your mentor. Trevor's only 24 years old, man. He's still young. What is his third, fourth season? Like, he's still fresh, man. And he made this comment I never, ever forget. I always remember this. His first year in the NFL, Trevor said, this is a big adjustment. These guys are nothing like in college. They're much more faster. They're much more stronger. And they know the game way better. So he has to go out there, you know, and make some adjustments and face playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, dealing with Doug Peterson and, you know, dealing with those guys on the other side of the ball. So I'm like 5-star. He does everything right, man. That's just the basic rules of life. You put in the work, you're going to get the right results. So Trevor will be all right in the long run.
New coach or new franchise, but something's got to change because what we're seeing right now is not what we expected.
Another thing, too, Spread, how do quarterbacks – we see Kyler Murray's going through this, too. How can you mentally get yourself prepared to lose? You see what I'm saying? Like, when you got these guys, Trevor won 41 straight games in high school, bro. He didn't lose a game in high school. He lost 2 games in college. And then now you come to Jacksonville and you suck.
Molly Wap.
Yeah, so that's another thing, man. It makes it well, like, how do you deal with adversity? A lot of these guys are used to being the best players on the field. And like you said, you know, great point by you. He kind of showed a weakness when he said that. Even if you felt that way, you don't have to say it. You know,
yeah, right?
Yeah, you don't have to say it. But I think at the end of the day, it'd be all right. Let's stay on quarterbacks. We just talk a little quarterbacks in this intro. Max Luka, right here in our backyard, UNLV. What the hell is Max Luka doing, Sino?
Want his money. That's all it is. 5-star. Everything about money. The NIL about to mess everything up. What you think about it? What's your input, big brother?
Well, the NIL is due to these kids. And what's crazy is, what's funny is, probably the richest kids are the ones who born the case, the Northwestern kids. All of them are from the suburbs of Chicago, good families. They're the ones who sued and won the case. It's from Northwestern, you know? So, you know, and they probably get the least benefit from, but great job by those kids putting that into law and, you know, challenging the system, and it worked because now we have a brand new system, and I'm not mad about the kids getting paid. They deserve it, and any kid who gets paid who didn't play a down and ends up running off with the money, I feel like that's just money the university owed for all the years that they was jobbing these kids and making, you know how much money these kids were carrying some of these schools. The football programs in Alabama, LSU.
LSU for sure.
Oklahoma, Texas. They're carrying the whole school. They're paying for all the athletics everywhere, you know. So some of these NIL deals have gone too far. Some of the stuff, like kids who haven't played one down did shit, but, you know, they're getting millions of dollars, just like Sluka. Even if they did promise him 100K. From what he did at Holy Cross, you think that Sluka deserved 100K? Like, like, I'm sorry, he's not that good of a player. And I think that what's going to happen with this UNLV situation, one, it's going to bring more light to this NIL stuff and what do schools promise, and more stricter regulations on, hey, man, if you make a promise to these kids, you have to see it out. Probably more contractual stuff is going to be done. We're going to see more and more GMs in college football. I think I'm going to apply for that in a couple years. GM at Grambling or somewhere. I need to be a GM, UNLV, because I'm not living in Grambling, so for UNLV or somebody on the West Coast, because GMs are about to be a big thing in college football because of this very situation we just seen with Sluka. Somebody has to do the contract, somebody has to do the negotiations, make sure that all parties are acting correctly in the situation, that it's benefiting both parties. Sluka says they promised him 100K, they haven't paid him his 100K. I don't see how he's worth 100K coming from where he came from. But if they said it to him, maybe it was verbal, maybe it was someone just trying to bag him, to come to the school and just told him, like, yeah, we're going to give you $100,000.
It was the assistant coach. It was all verbal. The assistant coach.
He didn't put it in paperwork. If he didn't put it on paper.
Right there. It's verbal.
See, and Sluka thinking he's hurting the team. He's not hurting the team. You hurt yourself, because if you would have continued playing this year, you probably would have went and got some money in the NIL from a bigger school, because you're going to get exposed. I watched all three games of them. Sluka is a tryhard, which is a good thing. He plays hard, does a lot of crash dummy stuff, you know, kind of like Grayson McCall used to do at Coastal Carolina, and how that worked out for Grayson McCall. He hasn't played the last 2 years. He's always injured. Sluka gets drilled. He doesn't protect himself. You know, he does the helicopters and things like that, trying to jump over people and all that mess. So good luck with that against better competition. He's not a good accurate passer. His passes are not accurate. They got some really good receivers over there at UNLV. You know, there are two of them. One of them, Ricky White, he's playing in the pros. That Jesus is too small, but if he gets in the right system, like the old school New England Patriots system, he's kind of like a Danny Amendola. Really shifty guy, can always get open, good hands. They haven't really been utilized because Sluka can't throw. They've been running the ball, and Sluka been just running around scrambling to win the game. Now we see if the kid that transferred over from Campbell, El Hodge Malik Williams, I think is his name, if he can, you know, step up and do his job. I don't see why not. They're not going to miss Malik. The receivers are probably happy because they might get some balls actually thrown to them now. So I think that this doesn't work out the way Sluka thinks that it's going to work out for him.
Me neither. Five star. If you had to pay Sluka, how much money would you give him?
I'd give him $50,000.
$50,000? You want to know what's crazy? UNLV Collective, they actually did pay Sluka. They paid him a $3,000 fee for an engagement he made during the summer. And they were saying that they wasn't aware, you know, they were supposed to pay him $100,000. He didn't reach out to them or nothing. So this is going to be an interesting case.
This is going to end up being a case study on NIL. Any opinion on the Sluka situation, Fred? You know anything about it?
Only what I read this morning. So,
what do you think about NIL as a whole, Spread?
Mixed feelings.
Really?
They deserve to get the money, but the way it's been implemented hasn't been the best. To me, the NCAA's fumbled everything over the last 10 to 20 years. Really, and this goes back to the 90s, they should have stopped all this jumping around the conferences way back then. Right, yeah. And I've complained about this before. Cal's playing in the Atlantic Coast Conference. The University of California, Berkeley, is located in the San Francisco Bay Area, right next to the Pacific Ocean, and they're in the Atlantic Coast Conference. They've let this stuff get out of control.
Yeah. Stanford, too. Stanford is in ACC.
Right, it's just nuts to me. And then when you go to the NIL, these kids deserve to get money for the video games, right? They deserve to get money. Everyone want to play. I want to be Shedeur Sanders. I want to be Travis Hunter, right? I want to be Carson Beck. I want to play with these great players. Give them their money. But the way that it's been implemented, it's kind of been the wild, wild west. Like you said, the issue here seems to be not getting things in writing. So I think they deserve to get paid, and I just think that they implemented it really poorly. And it probably reflects bad, like Sluka. It might be a principal thing at this point. You know, yesterday I had to do a dental release form because I'm going to a different dentist. I type in free PDF, right, to add on the form. It says it's free on the ad, and then they try to charge me. It was only a dollar. If it were, they would have just said straight up, it's a dollar, I would have paid it. But because they lied to me in the beginning, right? Now I'm mad. I think that's kind of where Sluka is. Regardless of whether or not he's worth the money, that's what he negotiated, and he didn't get it. So I think the kids need to get paid, and I think that they need to do a better way of implementing it. And seeing how the NCAA's fumbled everything so far, I have no confidence in their ability to make the changes that they're going to need to make.
Yeah, an assistant definitely told me he was getting $100,000, and you know, it's just now he, like you said, he's holding it to him, and I'm not mad at him. Now these kids can get agents as well, and work. They have teams that's working on this portal stuff, because it's like some really good portal guys that I feel like is coming up this year. Portal is damn near like, you know, being a free agent in the NFL now.
It's the whole reason Clemson fell off, right? Their ability, their refusal to use the portal. The portal has become key. It's 50-50 with recruiting now.
Yep.
You got to get them out of high school, and you got to get them out the portal. If you ignore one, you're coming in, you know, you're coming into a gunfight with a knife. You don't have all your weapons. So,
right.
it's some really good guys that's coming out, I think, in the portal next year to watch. Be on the lookout for Devon Dampier from New Mexico. I think that he's playing around really bad talent, but he has talent himself where he can be in a really good program and do well. My guy to watch is Alonzo Barnett III from James Madison. That kid can play. His dad actually played in the NFL. He played a different position from quarterback, but he has NFL DNA. He's a baller. He's going to end up somewhere and really do well. Also, keep an eye on Lenora Sellers, this from South Carolina, the kid that was wearing the glasses. He's been wearing contacts lately this year. I guess whoever's team told him, show your face, you know, whatever, for marketing purposes. But he was wearing glasses and stuff. And for some reason, he and the coach for South Carolina, Shane Beamer, don't get along there. He's always pulling them out the game and stuff. And I could tell he's unhappy there. But he's 6'3", 240. Just a physical specimen, can run, can throw, do everything. So the portal is going to continue to be a huge thing. Real quick, before we get into the past, I just wanted to ask you guys if you saw the ending of that Colorado and Baylor game. What about you, Cino? Did you see it?
Who didn't see that? Man, damn, I don't even know where to start. I seen the interview, bro, after the game, right? And Travis Hunter was like, I just told Coach, give me the ball. Let's get open, give me the ball. And he said, I knew they was going to cover me, and Shadeau was going to do what he was going to do. He was going to be great. Bro, for him to make a pass like that in a situation. And
unbelievable.
I'm still lost for words. I didn't bet that game. I didn't have no money on it or nothing. But
man, me either.
Bumps and the chills. Shadeau's going to be a problem in the NFL. They sleep on you. He's definitely going to be a problem, man. I can't wait to see him, you know, actually have a good O-line and people to back him up. And oh my God, I'm so excited about it.
Did you see that game, Spread?
No, I missed it, but I want to ask you about how Deion being Shador's dad's affecting his NFL stock, because I think if his name was Shador Johnson, he might be number one on the draft boards, and I know teams and fan bases seem scared of him because of the way his dad influences his life. Talk to me about Shador Sanders as a prospect, and how do you think that, I mean, do you think it's going to hurt his draft stock? I mean,
no, it's going to make it better. They love Deion. It's only idiots that don't like Coach Prime. The people who matter love Coach Prime. The NFL executives, the owners, they love Coach Prime. They all love Deion. Deion, one of the most popular guys in the NFL, man. Remember, he worked on the NFL Network. He knows everybody, man. People are getting lost in the fact that this guy's a strong personality, man. And I don't like it because it's kind of based a little bit in racism. Whether people want to accept it or not, they don't want to. They cover Deion a different way than they cover a lot of coaches. There's a lot of coaches who are assholes and say a lot of different stuff that they want to say. And it's looked at as, oh, he's a man. Well, Deion, they just kind of want to put the boy in his place. That's how it basically boils down to with the way the media covers him. Deion hasn't done anything wrong but root for his son and be a coach. That's his son. Of course he's going to root for him and want him to do well. Of course he's going to want his son to do good. But it doesn't change the fact that Shador is the best pocket passer we've seen since probably Jared Goff coming out, that can stand in there, take those bullets, have no blocking, and still throw dimes to people. We've seen before his ability to come back. He's come back. This isn't the first time he's led a comeback. This is what he does. He says he goes into Brady mode. We haven't seen a quarterback who's been mentored by Tom Brady since he was a child, you know, giving him all his secrets and all that stuff. We haven't seen a quarterback with the type of training that Shador has as well. His mechanics are unbelievable. That's why he can throw so well even under pressure, man. People don't pay attention. I do quarterbacks. That's what I do. His foundation, and you notice too, look how big Shador's legs are compared to his body. Next time you're watching, pay attention to his leg size. He does that because he's learned from Brady and other great quarterbacks and quarterback experts that your power comes from your legs when you're playing quarterback. Shador has everything that a prospect wants. That's just a bunch of bad media. But the people that matter in the NFL don't give a damn about what they're saying. They don't care about that. They don't care about none of what people are saying about, is he going to be a problem? He's going to be.
Well, so here's me. I'm a Raiders fan. Is Deion going to allow him to play for this terrible franchise?
Hell yeah. Mark Davis? Yeah, he likes Antonio Pierce. He trusts Antonio Pierce. He likes Mark Davis. That's where
I'm just worried he might be, and it's not even a bad thing, but I'm worried, you know, the Mannings are going to do the same thing. They said, Eli, we're not going to San Diego.
Right. Nobody said shit. Nobody said nothing about Archie Manning is out of line. What is he doing? Making, for some reason, it was okay.
And as a kid, I remember being offended. And as I grew up and learned about these cheap owners, Dean Spanos, and I don't know the Bengals owner off the top of my head, I go, you're absolutely right. Don't give your best years to these guys that aren't going to.
Archie Manning.
What's the point of having $1 billion if you ain't going to spend it?
The Saints were the worst organization in the world when Archie Manning was there. They didn't get good until Tom Benson bought the team. And now his daughter still runs the team. And now the Saints are legitimate because the Benson family is a legitimate business family that wants to win and put good product out there on the field. But when he was playing, it was Archie Manning against 12 people. It was like nobody was blocking him. It was 11 people and one more person coming off the bench hitting him. You know, like he was getting murdered, man. There's some sad pictures you'll see of Archie Manning sitting on the bench where he just been destroyed. He said he wasn't ever going to let his sons go through that. In prime, he built his son to be the black Tom Brady. He'll tell you. That's what he wanted to do. He said that growing up, he liked playing quarterback. But because of his speed and his athleticism, he never got a chance to play the position. So when he went to the pros, went through everything, he said he was going to teach one of his sons to be a quarterback. And it ended up Shador was the one who kind of, you know, took to it. He said he wanted to make sure that no scout could ever say his son couldn't read protection. His son couldn't read defenses. His son couldn't make throws from the pocket because they said and told him growing up and playing in the NFL that that's the thing that makes a prototype NFL quarterback. So now he's giving all these things to Shador, and it's still something they're saying. You see? So it's nobody that's a better pro-style quarterback in college football than Shador Sanders. If you put Shador Sanders
with Carson Beck. If you had number one overall, would you take him over Carson Beck?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Carson Beck, did you just see Carson Beck play? Carson Beck is cool, but he has a lot around him, bro. I was just about to tell you that comparison. Let's take Carson Beck and send him to Colorado right now and make him a quarterback.
Put Carson Beck in that same situation that Shador was in last week against Baylor.
And it's over. Pockets and the game's over. He put him in that same situation. Shador not only made one big play that ended up where the guy caught it and it was a touchdown, he throws a 60-yard back shoulder after he shook the guy, throws a 60 yards, a back shoulder, perfectly placed where the only person can get it is the receiver. As Ceno said, Travis Hunter drew all the attention to one side, so the other guy had a one-on-one on it. Shador scrambled about time, shook defenders until he could get them down the field in the end zone, threw a brilliant pass, bro. 60-yard back shoulder, right on the money, dude catches a touchdown. But the play before that, he made another great throw, and the kid dropped it. Same thing, number 14 dropped it. He did the same thing. He threw it like a 60-yard dime right in the kid's hand, and he dropped it. Shador is special, bro. He's special. He comes from special DNA. It's just that his dad played cornerback. He plays quarterback, but he still has all of that talent, all of those smarts. That's what people don't look at because of the antics or what people consider antics because he's waving the wides or rapping. He's being a kid, man. He's 20 years old. You know, he's having fun. He's doing what you do when you're a kid. Look at his dad. Dion was hell in college. Everybody hated Dion in college. America's funny like that. Everybody hated Muhammad Ali when he was young and talking. Now when he gets old, he's beloved because they knew that it was all based on the wrong shit. You were being racist. He wasn't doing anything. Same thing with Coach Prime. All he was doing was representing the culture where he was from. He wore jewelry. He was talking noise. He was prime time. Now look how much money he made in the NFL. NFL prime time comes from Deion Sanders. That's where they got the whole idea from. Just from the type of player that he was. From Chris Berman saying prime time. Deion has done so much for that league. They can't wait till Shador gets there because Shador's going to be a professional just like his dad. You know why? Him and his dad are tight. His dad's going to tell him, you and him grown men, son, quit the bullshit. Now it's time to get serious like I did. It's time to be a professional. It's time to watch every film. It's time to be at every workout. It's time to be timely. It's time because now you're a pro. He's in college, man. Right now, Deion telling him, man, have fun. Knock off them chicks. Have fun. Do your thing. You're a kid. Enjoy being a kid. I'm not worried about Shador Sanders one bit. He's going to be an all pro in 5 years. Remember I told you that.
And it's coming from my real father.
Hopefully he ends up in Las Vegas because that's the position we are looking for going into this offseason.
I've done pretty good with quarterbacks, Fred.
You've done really good. So
I called Josh Allen first. Many years ago, Cedar.
And I didn't believe in that one.
Yeah, I'm the one.
I didn't think his accuracy was going to get fixed.
I called Jaden Daniels. I called Jordan Love. I called Cam Ward. Kyler Murray when he was at A&M and everybody was saying he sucked. I'm like, no, he don't. He just needs a good coach. He just needs to be put somewhere we can. Shador Sanders is one of the best prospects we've ever seen come out of college football. One thing that people, this, and we're going to the past, we're taking a long time at this intro, but it's okay. We're just kicking it. One thing people aren't realizing, and we talked about this spread off air. I want a quarterback from Colorado who's not playing with all his talent. I don't want a quarterback from Alabama or from Georgia with all these guys with an advantage every week that they come out there. I want someone who can deal with adversity, who can deal when I'm playing with a team where I know we're not the best. I know we're really not going to win this game, but I'm about to come out here and put them on my shoulders, and we're about to shoot bullets with these guys. And that's what Shedeur does, and it's going to benefit him so well. Shedeur Sanders is already better than Caleb Williams. Remember I told you that. He's already better than Caleb Williams.
Most definitely.
He's already better than Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is a backyard football player. They're going to have to teach him how to play with discipline. He can make every throw, but he's not going to sit in the pocket and make it. He's going to look, and he's going to take off and run. And he's so used to using his athleticism. The great thing about Shedeur, he's not athletic like that. He's not slow, but he's not a runner. He don't have – that's the one thing he didn't get from his dad. He got his smarts. He got his talent. He didn't get his athleticism. So he has to sit in there and figure out how to get the ball out like Brady used to. That's going to benefit him so much in the NFL. Push Shedeur Sanders on Georgia team. They beat everybody by 40 points, bro. Believe that.
All right. Making me feel better because I would not be surprised to see him donning the silver and black.
Now, you got to hope as a Raiders fan that the OC for Colorado's that used to be the coach for the Giants is telling them, like, don't let him go to New York. Because the Giants family, the Mariners, have been winning a long time. They know how to put a good product on the field. So they might – Dion might be like, shit, New York – you know, the media in New York, the love you get, the Giants quarterback. But I think he's coming out to Vegas, honestly. I think he'll be out here.
Yeah, it'll probably just be whoever has the higher draft pick. I don't think either team will trade away from an opportunity like that.
No. But I could see the Giants organization going with Carson Beck because he's more their type of quarterback that they're – he's the measurables that they usually look for in their quarterback. He has the look that they're looking for in their quarterback. You know that, so –
I think he coming here. He gonna go to Seattle. He might go out there in Tennessee. They gotta get Will Levis about it.
Seattle's gonna have too good a record.
Yeah, too good of a record over there.
And so I don't think the teams that need the quarterback are gonna trade up. I was looking at Tankathon. There are a lot of teams that are bad right now that probably will not draft a quarterback. I don't know. I think Seattle would. I don't think they're gonna be too good.
So that's what you think. And I don't know. I just feel like Five Star was saying. Geno Smith and Shedeur Sanders pocket. They were for what? So why not put somebody in that situation? But then again, you know, I'm just thinking like that from a gym.
And Seattle might regress. They've had the easiest schedule so far this season. So they're 3-0, but they played the easiest schedule.
Yeah.
When you like Miami, when you play them with Tim Boyle, it's a little different than playing them full strength.
And for Shedeur, I tank.
Yeah. All right, man.
Let's review some of this college before I lament my NFL. The San Jose State, +12.5 at Wazoo. What did you see there, Five Star?
One of the best games of the season. Never was a real sweat on that one, man. San Jose State came to play like I knew they would. Like I said, they're 9-1 in the last 10 games before this when they were 8-2 against the spread. They continue to fight. As we said, also, their quarterback, was a former Washington State player. So he came in trying to prove a point that you guys got rid of the wrong guy. Game goes to overtime, instant classic. I mean, the last 3 minutes of that game was bonkers. You had San Jose State take the lead back with maybe like 30 seconds left, and it looks like they're going to pull it outright, and then Washington State drives down and get to the 50-yard line in like 20 seconds, and the kid makes a 55-yard field goal to send it to overtime. And then in overtime, Washington State outlasted San Jose State. But that was my biggest bet of the weekend on college football. I gave it out on every platform from the Wager World to Jay Money Show to a Ski Show. And I'm glad that everybody was able to eat. They even gave it out on the radio on ESPN 97.5. So I'm glad that everyone was able to win on San Jose State.
And that was a scare right there, Five Star. Then we had Miami, Ohio, 27.5. They covered against the Gambling Irish.
Yeah, man. I call them the Gambling Irish now because I could not believe what they did at the end of that game. So, you know, I know you were you out with your daughter or did you see it?
I was actually out with my daughter in that game, but I'm not. The Fighting Irish, she said the Gambling Irish. The Fighting Irish, that's a whole different team compared to Five Star. I'm not.
Brother, what the coach I'm be doing? So disappointed in their head coach.
Yeah, like,
Bro, I'm so disappointed, Notre Dame head coach. I already didn't like him because there's certain type of dudes that certain, like,
I don't like him.
Marcus Freeman?
Yeah, I don't like Marcus.
Oh, my God. He makes some bad decisions, man.
I don't like Marcus Freeman's spread. And the reason why I don't like him is because he's a company man. You know, I don't like company man. So he was, it's 28-3. It's 2 minutes left. They just stopped Miami, Ohio. They have the ball. Spread, they were going hurry up.
Man, no.
They were going hurry up and throwing the ball with 2 minutes left, man.
No, five star.
Bro, up 28-3. They were going hurry up. Ask me. Me and him both had Miami, Ohio. Huge.
Might have been so bad.
I was so angry. They were going hurry. He put in a backup that he know could throw better than the starting quarterback and went hurry up. They completed a couple passes, ran it. Finally, it got to looking so obvious. It was looking so obvious that they were trying to score like they were doing too much. When it was 36, he finally just kind of waved them off. And, you know, it was just stop. They still didn't take a knee. It ended up when they lined up, the clock ran out or whatever. But it's just this sports bet, man, is ruining college football.
These college coaches know that a lot of those boosters that are giving out this NIL money are betting on the team, too.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that's what it was.
They want to go back to that, right, that same booster. They've been having dinner together. They having phone calls. They texting. You know, he got some congratulations there from the same guys. Now, I don't know how deep Notre Dame is in the NIL because they're such a prestigious organization.
No, that's deep in it. You didn't see when his first year he did a commercial in a Rolls Royce? Like, they on some.
He did?
He's trying to make Notre Dame one of the schools that's paying out openly again. You know, like, they already always paid behind the scenes. That's how they had when Lou Holtz was there. But now they're paying out in the open. And at the end of the game, Freeman going to come up to my guy, Chuck Martin, put his hand over his mouth and whispered. So Chuck Martin was looking at him like, man, you don't get the hell out of my face. You were trying to cover the spread and run the score up on my kids. Like, get the hell away from me. Yeah, as far as the game, Miami, Ohio, good job defense. We said that Notre Dame wouldn't be able to run all over them like they did the previous week and that the spread would be good. But, boy, Notre Dame really tried some dirty shit to cover, and I don't like it.
All right, Clemson was -19 versus NC State, but they had a dominating win. What did you see there, five-star?
Me and Cino took this one. I'm going to let Cino break that one down.
Five-star, it was just so easy for me. Like I said, when the season first started on the wager, shall I say, Clemson, I just figured they'd get it together somewhere, and that was just all the number for me. The Wolfpack was depleted. It was Clemson. They had to dominate. They had to get the win somewhere.
Yep. All right, let's talk about Utah. No Cam Rising, no problem. What'd you see there when they took on Oklahoma State?
Oh,
yeah, man. I told you guys on this one. And what's so crazy about this game, the funnest thing about it is I was so worried about Cam Rising. He ended up all the way up to kickoff. They said he was playing, and then they pulled the okey-doke, and it ended up still working out right for us because the main thing that we based this handicap on, like we talked about it, last week, was the fact that Utah is just a better program, man. Whittingham just is a good coach, you know. So I knew he was going to have those boys ready to play, and Utah was ready to play. Defensively, they shut down Alan Bowman. I knew it was no way that Bowman was going to have a good game against that defense. Oklahoma State didn't put up any points until the fourth quarter. They scored 16 points, but the first half, they were completely dominated, man. So it was really hard for them to get back into the game. Oklahoma State was also turning that ball over, man. Like it wasn't anything that they could do offensively with the defense of Utah because Alan Bowman just not a good quarterback, man. He's like 26 years old. He's been everywhere in the world before, but he has a penchant for throwing interceptions. And I told you he was going to throw one before the game. I bet that he would for like plus 150 or something. And that hit, he ends up throwing two interceptions. But Whitnam pulls an okey-doke on us, and instead he plays Isaac Wilson, who's the freshman. He know that name Wilson. He's probably a Mormon from the Utah area, and he can ball. He did a really good job. Even though he threw two picks, he was able to do just enough to move the ball. Michael Bernard, who I talked about on the previous show, was going to have a big game, and he did run in the ball, man. He went for 150 yards or so on the ground. Oh, 182 yards, excuse me. He went for 182 yards on the ground against Oklahoma State. Utah's as always, a good, just a good program. Always a good bet, especially with a Norman that's short against Oklahoma State.
Now, Thino, I haven't seen it in real life, but your debit card might as well just put a Michigan logo on it. Because once again, you were able to withdraw more cash from that ATM that's the sports book. And you must have been the only one because they cleaned up. There was a lot of money on USC. USC was the popular side there, and Michigan gets it done. Sino, talk to me about that withdrawal you were able to make this Saturday.
Me and my clients was all over there to tell you we had Michigan and the over. Yeah. Since Caleb Williams left that team, I think they're a different team. Lincoln Riley and USC, they got some adjustments to do.
What did you see there?
I took Michigan as well. Ski and I texted each other for about 20 minutes before kickoff on this game, and in that window, we end up taking Michigan plus +4. We took Utah plus +2.5.
You had all dogs?
Yeah, it was a dog. So, but Michigan, big game. I watched the end of that game in Harris. You know, I walked in Harris to pick up some money and stuff from Caesars. And when I walked in there, it was right at the most crucial part. And I couldn't believe, because when I left, I stopped watching the game. And, you know, Michigan had full control. And, boy, USC came out on fire in the third quarter. And it tracked it down. And so when I walked in, USC was up 24-20, I want to say. And, boy, great job by Michigan getting down the field, just being physical. Ran the ball down the field, played their style of football. I still, to this day, will never understand why their head coach did Sharon Moore didn't play Alex Orji, why he didn't start against Texas. I know that they probably would have still lost, but I think the game would have been closer because it's just – different things they can do with Orji that keeps the drives going. You know, it's not all this flashy stuff, you know, not all these big plays, but what it does is continue to move the chains. Whereas in, when they go with the other quarterback, he has to complete passes, man. You know, Orji can get it done with the ground. They can kind of grind and pound and play to their defense, which is really strong. You saw, you know, they were able to hold down USC the entire first half, especially Moss is 28 out of 51. USC does not want to throw the ball 51 times. You know, that Lincoln Riley got frustrated with the Michigan defense and got back to his old ways. His running back, Marks, had 100 yards rushing, but he only had 13 carries. He's averaging 10 yards a carry. Why aren't you feeding him? He got, you know, a little bit like he did at Oklahoma and got pass happy when he couldn't run the ball the way he wanted to early. And Mitchell Moss throws 51 times. That's not going to be a recipe for success for USC. USC comes back down to earth. I knew they were a little bit overrated. Michigan comes back to the more of who I thought they were, which is one of the better teams in the country because of
that. Especially at home.
Yeah, at home, the big house is always tough.
Yeah, right. And they only lost that game to Texas, the first game at home. Like I said, they haven't lost in a long time. We had Michigan. Man, look, free games.
23 straight games before that Texas
game. Yeah, right, baby. Yeah. And now look, they didn't win the last two games at home, so they're back on that. They're back on their horse. So the wager, we're riding every game of Michigan at home. I'm going to keep hollering and screaming, Michigan! Yeah. I might, like Fred said, I might go get it snapped on my debit card.
All right, let's move into Sunday, man. Rough Sunday for me, but one of the things that I was able to get it done on was the Baltimore Ravens. Felt like it was going to be an easy cash. The Cowboys came back and made the final score look closer than it looked. That might have been the first onside kick that actually worked this season. Now they have to declare it, and they can't disguise it as much. Although usually at that point in the game, everyone knows it's coming. Major takeaway from that game is the Cowboys' run defense is right now statistically the worst in the league. I don't know if it really is the worst in the league because of the schedule they played. But if they're not going to be able to stop the run, this is football 101. And sometimes we take it for granted because of how good these defensive linemen and these linebackers are. But once again, they were vulnerable on the ground. I think what happens when you pay these quarterbacks this much money, unless they're an Allen, unless they're a Mahomes, you lose so much depth on both sides of the line. And we've seen the Cowboys' offensive line. It's not when that team was a truck when Dak was on that rookie contract, right? We've talked about that before, how important it is. You know, Texans are being able to take advantage of that right now. And they lost a lot of people on the defensive line too. And it was quite evident against the Baltimore Ravens, an offensive line that's still coming together. Four of their five guys new this season here, major turnover on that line. They got to be feeling good about that. But five-star, what did you see, and what are we doing with these teams going forward? I know the Ravens have a tough matchup this Sunday. How do we rate the Cowboys? And we'll be talking about them a little bit because they're our primetime game for Thursday night.
Mike McCarthy's time is coming. It's short because what happened is Jerry Jones didn't do him any favors. He put all his trust in Dak. And we know Jerry Jones is really good at the draft. They really do a good job with the Cowboys drafted, but I don't know how they missed on running backs. You can't have a Cowboys team that centers around Dak Prescott, 51 passes. Again, great fantasy numbers, but it just isn't sustainable, and it's not winning football with Dak Prescott throwing the ball 51 times. You know, he had 379 yards and all that, but look at the running game. The most rushing yards that they had was from Otto. He had 32 yards. Zeke Elliott looks like a shell of himself. He had 6 yards. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. Deuce Vaughn is too small. Without a running game, the Cowboys are about to suck because their defense isn't that good. They're not staying on the field long because they're throwing on every play. So I think that the Cowboys are in store for a really, really bad season this year. I don't think that they're going to be that good. I thought if it was going to be any spot that they were going to bounce back defensively, it was this spot. With the way we know that the Ravens run their offense, it's pretty, you know, vanilla. It's, you know, stop Lamar, keep him in the pocket, make him throw from the pocket, shut down the run. They couldn't do that. You know, they just, you know, pretty much put their will on the Cowboys and did whatever they wanted to do. Derrick Henry looked like his old self, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lamar, excellent game by Lamar. 12 of 15, 182 yards. 14 carries, 87 yards, touchdown on the ground, touchdown in the air. He does it different, but he does it so efficient and does it his way. He's the MVP of the league for a reason, because he's a special type of weapon. He's a different type of quarterback that people aren't used to having to play against. Lamar is tough in that run game, man. He looks just like he did at Louisville, and I didn't know that was going to translate to the NFL so easily, but he's a tough hombre. And he's smart. He knows how to make all these yards without getting any real hard hits put on him. So, Lamar's great. I loved how his attitude was that game. As you had said, Spread, he wasn't going to lose. He wasn't going to let them lose. He was real chippy all game, even with his own players, telling them, get back in the huddle. Stop celebrating. Stop doing all this, man. We haven't won a game. Let's get focused and get serious. After the game, Marlon Humphrey's goofy ass trying to put him on live. Lamar checked him. Like, this ain't time for all this, bro. We got one win. Our goal this year is to win the Super Bowl, and you doing all this playing. You know, so I like what Lamar's headspace is right now. Great leader. Is John Harbaugh the guy? That's what we're about to see, because recently a lot of Baltimore fans are saying that Harbaugh is the problem and that he's been the problem. I was looking at Ed Reed said some things about Harbaugh. You know, if anyone knows the Ravens, he does. He said when he was there, it was a my way or the highway situation. He's changed a little bit, but he said that he don't think that Harbaugh can get them where they need to be. A lot of people in Baltimore saying Bill Belichick. You know, he's a big fan of Lamar Jackson. They're saying they want Bill Belichick to come coach him in Baltimore. So we'll see how that works out. One thing that I didn't think about until right after the first drive by the Ravens, when I text Yucino and I also text Key about this, I was looking at the numbers. I'm like, there's so much money on Baltimore. Everybody, like I told you, every hood guy, every homie going to bet on them this week. Every square better going to bet on them. They had one. So I'm like, it's going to be overwhelming tickets on Baltimore. So let me be contrarian and get with the books and ride Dallas because of the situation. After the first drive, it was like Baltimore was playing against air. And Spread, I text Sino. I said, man, I forgot about Jerry Jones, what he just did with Jamie Foxx talking about the players' meat. Remember they caught him on tape and he was talking about the kids' measurables and then talking about his meat size. I said, the NFL not messing with that. They don't like that. You know, like, he's giving them bad press. I'm like, he's not getting any favors from the ref like usual this week. And I thought about it and I was like, they're not going to shield them at all. So, that's a bad cap by me. I always talk about bad beat, bad break, bad handicap. Harbaugh handicap, because Lamar was not going to dance smooth, period.
Yep. I told you that, though. I said the ground. Yep. It was going to kill him on the ground, bro. You go back and watch the last show, exactly what I said happened. But since we're talking about Mike McCarthy, I definitely like to salute him. He came out and he spoke about the Brett Favre situation. Brett Favre said he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, you know, so prayers go out to him.
Yeah.
You know, and his family.
Yeah, yes, sir.
We'll talk about the Cowboys a little bit more when we get into the present, because they're going to be our feature game tomorrow night. Tough one for the Houston fans, as I said this before about a couple games, not necessarily surprised when a team lose, but was surprised in the fashion in which they lost. Brian Flores looking like the best coordinator in the history of mankind right now.
In the NFL, Fred. You know, that's crazy. He was with the Steelers.
And the Steelers lose him, and they still doing great, too. So, you know, obviously some residual effects from the way that he coaches and the way that he teaches. We got to give him credit here. I think the Texans are going to bounce back. I think it was a blip in the radar. But all credit goes to the Vikings, and I want to hear what you think about this Minnesota Vikings team. Are they for real? Because these are some quality wins now that, you know, they beat San Francisco. Now they beat Houston. These are two Super Bowl contenders. This isn't the cupcake Seattle Seahawks schedule. Are the Minnesota Vikings for real, five-star? What do you think?
Yeah, the Vikings are for real. And it's crazy because remember before the season started, we was like, the only team we ever talked about is the Vikings.
And I remember thinking it was kind of wild when you put them in your top five power rankings last week, but you were spot on. They're a top five team right now.
Bro, they're top five because of their coordinators. Because in the preseason, we talked about, like, now is it, can Darnold be who we know Darnold was at USC? Can he be the number one player? He's always had the athletic ability. We know he can throw the ball. He's quick. He can run. He's strong. You know, can he make the right decisions? And one of the best. We know how I feel about this staff. This is my favorite staff maybe all time in the NFL, bro. I'm not lying. Like, I thought that Sean Payton – calling plays and Dennis Allen in D.C. was pretty good. But this is different right here. With Kevin O'Connell calling plays and Brian Flores running the defense. Bro, they're cerebrally ahead of every team. Like, it's not even close. Like, when they get on the field, guys from Minnesota are wide open. When you get on the defensive side, it's like they're playing the boogeyman. They don't know what the hell's going on when they're going against Florida. I ain't seen C.J. Stroud look that lost in years, bro.
Yeah, he was.
Bro, he didn't look that lost his first.
Purdy said the same thing. Purdy said that was the toughest scheme to diagnose he ever played against in his career.
Brock Purdy. Yeah, exactly. Brock Purdy said the same thing. Like, Davis Mills was playing at the end of this one. So, you know, this was an embarrassment for the Texans. But it's going to do them well because everybody's been blowing smoke up the Texans. We know how good they are, but they're still young, man. And they needed this ass whooping, you know, to get refocused. Bobby Slowick, a lot of people turning against him in Houston. They're saying he's holding back the offense. Last year, it was a lot simpler for him when he had two guys, when he had Cole Collins and he had Tank Dell. Now that they've added the third threat and the offense has opened up a little bit more, they say that he's not calling the good plays out of three wide receiver sets, man. So Slowick has to step up. You know, I've been on his tail ever since the Ravens' second half in the playoffs when the Texans had the game under control and he came out and called that foolishness, that stupid trick play, and they lost like 40 yards when field goal range about to go up 10 and never recovered. So I hope Bobby Slowick, you know, does a better job calling plays this week against Jacksonville. That should have a get-right game coming up with Jacksonville. Minnesota's going to be around all year. As long as they stay healthy, they're really talented teams, bro. They're more talented than we knew. And they have a lot of players on defense that we didn't know anything about. I forgot they got Jonathan Bernard from Texas. He's a beast. He's killing stuff, you know. Right, so
that's why they didn't pay Cousins. And I talked about it with the Dallas Cowboys. When you pay $50 million to that guy, you're losing three quality players. So they said, we're not giving you $50 million, Kirk. We're going to get just the same level of play from a guy for $10 million. And, Sino, you know, the final thing I want to say, and I think Five Star will back me up here, let's go back and look at college tape. How much different is Sam Darnold than our heralded Caleb Williams? Almost exactly the same. The only issue is interceptions. Same school, same huge numbers. I love what Minnesota's doing up there. Sino, you know, what do you think about this team? We're going to continue to back them?
Yeah, they was expected to finish last. We didn't even talk about these guys. Man, it's all on Brian Flores and his defense. That's it. To be honest, they're the reason they win. It's the same situation as the Pittsburgh Steelers and all the other good teams with defenses. If these quarterbacks will get back there and manage, the defense coordinator is going to do what they have to do. And I seen C.J. Stroud, man, his body language was huffing and puffing. I'm like, oh, they really getting to this kid. Like, he really is stressed out right now. So if the Vikings play defense like that on the other side of the ball, offense is in some trouble. Simple as that.
Yeah, it just reinforces what I say. You don't pay these non-elite quarterbacks elite money because they were able to bring in three solid defensive pieces, and now we look at what this defense is doing.
So, yeah, because Kevin O'Connell's looking at it like this, bro. Like, I'm calling these plays, and he's still not executing. So why not save some money and get somebody who might can do it and I can pay him cheap? Because I'm calling the right plays because it's still not you doing it right. Yeah. And then Aaron Jones was a huge pickup for them as well. He had 19 carries, 102 yards. We know how versatile Aaron Jones is. He's a really good gadget piece because he catches like a receiver out the backfield. So that's one thing. Sam Darnold, man, 17 of 28. 181, four touchdowns, no interceptions. Great job. Coaches and everything, man. Coaches and everything. And then they got another. You remember Jalen Naylor from Michigan State? I was high on him in college. Yes. He's become a really good second receiver for them, man. The sky's the limit right now for the Vikings because they still have the kid that's out, that's injured, the receiver.
They're going to get Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson back about week eight, week nine.
Yeah, so everything's looking good for the Vikings. We know that that's a tough place to play in the playoffs, man. So, big game for them coming up this week. I can't wait to talk about them going to Green Bay this Friday. I think Jordan Love's going to play.
Yeah, and more on that. But that NFC North might be the toughest division in football right now. Previously, what I thought the toughest division in football was the AFC North. But the Steelers moved to 3-0. With Herbert getting hurt, that made it kind of elementary at that point, because the only reason I would think that you were going to back the Chargers in that spot was the quarterback advantage. And once they lost that, they're simply not good. And I've talked about cheap franchises before, and I don't know if this is related, but I told Cena, I'm 48 years old. When have the Chargers not had injury problems? Like 1 year with Schottenheimer, like in '90s. Every year they got injury issues, and this happened again. They lost Rashawn Slater once again. Joe Alt. I know, you know, his ankle sprain or whatever. You can't necessarily blame that on the training staff here. But this was an offensive line that after week one, I said this might be, you know, right up there with the Lions and the Indianapolis Colts, best offensive lines in football. Now they lose their bookends. Chargers could be in trouble, and Steelers look legit. And Justin Fields once again showing how much coaching matters. You put him in the proper situation. You're not expecting him to carry a franchise, to save a franchise. You put him in and you say, this is your job, do it. And we know that Tomlin is excellent at setting expectations and accountability. And he's getting both those things there. And most players want that. You can see a field thriving under the leadership of a real organization. I'm excited about the Pittsburgh Steelers in your future. What did you see in that one, 5-star?
Pittsburgh Steelers look good, man. And, you know, Justin Fields is only going to get more confidence and better as the season goes. You know, he's a really good quarterback. We've always known that. It's all about, as you said, culture, man. And now he has a team that believes in him, the right motivator, and Mike Tomlin. As you said, Brian Flores was over there. I believe he left from over there because Tomlin is still hands-on with that defense. So I think that he couldn't do all of the, you know, stuff that he really wanted to do without having to check with Tomlin. And you could tell Kevin O'Connell just tells him, go, you know, do whatever you want to do. This is your side.
O'Connell even walks in that room.
Exactly. He's just like, you're a head coach. Do your thing, bro. You've been a head coach. You know. So the Steelers is always going to be the Mike Tomlin show. And who else you want running that show? It's a lovely clip. One of my favorite clips from a coach ever, when he's sitting on there talking to one of his former players. So Mike Tomlin is on the pivot talking to Ryan Clark. And he says, he hates when coaches don't want to do their job. When they say the kid can't roll left, or the kid, he lacks this and lacks this. He say, I run to that because you're running from coaching, man. And I run to coaching. He says, it's my job to make this kid better and to turn those deficiencies into strengths. So that's the mind state that Mike Tomlin has. He finally has a quarterback that can put enough points up. Now it all boils down to TJ Watt stay healthy for the whole year. If he stays healthy, they're going to be all right. If their defense can stay healthy, they're going to be in it all year. That's what it basically boils down to. Chargers beat all of them, man. I lost Joe out. Rashawn Slater, same game, because they was trying to block that defense for the Steelers. It just, you know, it was a little bit too much for them. And then Herbert gets hurt at the end of the game. So the Lions 8.5 right now on the Chiefs. But even if Heineke plays, I still might lean the Chargers just because – I think Jim Harbaugh is not going to get blown out, but we'll see, you know, as we get closer to game day. Taylor Heineke, he's a good backup quarterback. He can put some points up, just a little reckless with the ball, kind of like Gardner Minshew. So moving forward, we'll see. I don't think that we'd probably see Herbert this week against Kansas City, though.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think they're going to run the ball. Five star, the reason I brought up Ryan Shazier is I thought you were going to do my favorite quote, and him and Shazier are having a conversation.
Okay.
And Shazier goes, remember he got hurt really bad?
Yeah.
And he said, Coach, I remember when I was ready to come back, and you wouldn't put me on the field. You told me I needed more time, and I really wanted to come back. And I felt I could help the team. And he said, Ryan, my responsibility was first to you as a man and your family, and second to my team.
That's right. Right?
Saying, I don't care if I get a better chance to win. I got to look after you first. You were put in charge, almost like a college coach, right? Your family trust me to take care of you, and I got to do that. And I think that resonates through an organization when they know that this man has their best interest first and then the team second, but he's not going to ask somebody to jeopardize their health and jeopardize the well-being of their ability to take care of their family just to squeeze out an extra win. So another reason why Tomlin is my favorite coach in the NFL. Sino, what do we make of this game? Chargers, I thought they really had a chance to maybe be a 13-win team when I saw them at the beginning of the year. Now it looks like they all back on the injured reserve here. And this team that was going to win the ball at the line of scrimmage, you lose two tackles. That's tough.
They're body there, man. I don't know what we're gonna do with the Chargers. Like you said, ever since San Diego, they've been dealing with a lot of problems. But we had some problems, five star, up in New Orleans.
You want to go right to that game? I was so disappointed, man. I said this Philly team—they lost too much on the defensive line. They're not winning at the line of scrimmage anymore. Their secondary can get exposed if they don't get pressure, and none of that happened. None of it happened. Now, to be fair, if I want to go ahead and give myself, hey, we lost our center, but the New Orleans Saints lost their center three snaps into the game. We know how important he is to setting the protections. So that could have been something going in there, and he's not going to be back for a while, so we'll see how that goes. But I was really disappointed, man. I was touting the Saints to win the NFC South, and of course they still could. This is just one blip on the radar. But I thought they had a great chance to make a statement against the Philadelphia Eagles. And they fell short, and they looked really bad doing so. Philadelphia could have won that game by a lot more if they didn't have problems. I mean, that coach is terrible on Philadelphia. I can't believe he's
horrible. He's gone after this year. See around.
It don't matter what they do. It could be one of those. I talked about Schottenheimer earlier. He could make the NFC Championship and get fired because there's no way you can see what he's doing there and think that he's helping that team.
He's such an idiot. Like, he's one of the like I told you, I see straight through him. Frat boy, he has no business being a head coach anywhere. But as far as the game, the defense from the Saints, this was an old Saints game. The Saints game we used to see it every year. They tricked us the first two games. Right back to the old Saints. The defense played a hell of a game. They stopped the Eagles so many times in the first half, bro, and kept them off the scoreboard. Offense can't do jack because you know why? Your boy spread Derek Carr.
I don't know. And he looked jittery in the pocket again, and you see him, and he's feeling pressure that ain't even there.
It ain't even there. It's a big game.
You already can tell. If you want to live bet the Saints, watch. When Carr's feet gets jittery in a clean pocket, just bet the other team. Because he's done, he's shook, it's over.
He was shook, bro. And now my Saints crew, my Who Dat fans, they all texting me and adding me talking about some. Carr don't know how quick we'll turn on them, do we five star? So the whole city wants Derek Carr out of there again and wants Spencer Rattler. As soon as the Saints, as I've said several times, do what Minnesota's done. They have two good coordinators. It's time to move on from Derek Carr, man. I don't care what happened this year. I don't care if we make it to the Super Bowl. It's time to get rid of Derek Carr, get a key to Spencer Rattler, pay him on that fifth-round contract, add some receivers to the team to go with the two guys they already got, Olave and Shaheed, add a backup running back, because now it looks like Jamal Williams is a shell of himself. He doesn't look nothing like he looked at Detroit. To back up Kamara, where Kamara doesn't have to, run the ball so many times, add a tight end, add a couple guys on the defensive line in the rotation, the Saints are going to be a 13-win team, 12-win team. Because the shit that Derek Carr is doing, Spencer Rattler can do the same thing, bro. He can do the exact same thing and probably better.
Go back to Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he can do the same thing, probably do it better. Because the only time he's completing passes is if the pocket's clean. You know, so a quarterback that's a viable quarterback supposed to complete balls when the pocket's clean. Otherwise, Derek Carr is scared as hell, bro. He's not going to come through when you need him. Just a complete, man, it's just everything the Saints have done over the years forever. Blow games in the fourth quarter. They give up 15 points. They knock out Keith Smith with one of the dirtiest hits you've ever seen. And then I was really disappointed that guy spit on Smith after he knocked him out. Like, bro, come on now. Like, I'm a Saints fan, but that's some bullshit. Like, they don't have – it's no place in football for that, bro. He's better than me because I would have been waiting outside with a pistol after the game if you spit on me. You spit on me, I'm waiting outside with a pistol after the game, bro.
All his other shit.
Yeah, he knocked him out and spit on him, you know. So after and the Eagles responded, Barkley went yard the very next play because that's how karma works. Bro, you already knocked the kid out, hit him kind of late. They didn't call anything because the play really was dead when he knocked him out. Okay, walk to the sidelines. If you was your job was to knock him out, you feel good about yourself, that's cool. You going to spit on him, man? You going to spit on him for real? So now, you know, Barkley goes yard, and the Saints got everything they deserved in their fourth quarters. They blow the game and give up 15 points, and great comeback by Jalen Hurts. The most important play of the game was when the tight end who had been killing them, he's the only person in the whole game that's catching balls because both their receivers are hurt. Only thing that the Saints have to do is try to figure out a way to hold Dallas Goedert. They got three people on the triple team because Dennis Allen's smart enough to know that. The three buffoons running to each other. So on the fourth down, he's wide open and goes for like 50 yards, and that's why the Eagles win the game right there. The game boiled down to three big plays by the Eagles. The long run by Saquon Barkley to put them on the board. Dallas Goedert with that big catch and terrible defense by the Saints on fourth down kind of reminded you of the Minnesota Miracle. And, you know, he goes 50 yards, and then the interception – by Blankenship that Carr throws at the end, who, of course, nuts up when it matters and can't drive the team down the field to score. But I knew this. I knew I was getting too happy for the Saints. I feel better about the Texans getting blew out of Minnesota than I feel about the Saints losing this game,
Sino, I don't know what's more disappointing Sunday, knowing Saints or the Las Vegas Raiders. Talk to me. Tell me a little bit about how disappointing the Raiders were too, because then we're going to get into this weekend's games.
I could just say, bro, we lost to Andy Dalton, somebody that's been sitting on the bench that never ever think he was going to start another game in the NFL. But then again, that just goes to show you how ass Bryce Young is.
I know, and I thought they were unfairly scapegoating him, but it turns out
he's just ass.
But no, I'm not gonna say that. You know why, guys?
Ass.
No, this why see though, the spread. Andy Dalton is a pro. He's played for what 15 years in the league, right? Yeah. Dave Canales is running a pro style offense with probably reads that Dalton's seen a million times. Bryce Young was not running that in Alabama. This is his first year in the offense, Canales. So Canales wants him to play that style. Stop trying to force Bryce Young to play a style of football that does not go with his style of quarterback. That's what I feel. So, and what Andy Dalton did is not maintainable. It's not going to last. Y'all see, he'll throw four interceptions one game pretty soon. Remember, I told you.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was real disappointed. The Panthers had looked like the Cowboys stopping the run, and they made them look like that Super Bowl team with Cam Newton when they had that great defense.
That's all Antonio Pierce spread that game. What happened is he probably gave the guys the week off, let them start feeling themselves after that big win that they had at Baltimore, and they didn't come to play. They thought that they could just come out there for Carolina and win.
And the problem is they my buddy said this ain't Madden. You can't just switch the playbook and expect everyone to work. The Raiders team is built to be a power blocking team, and Zamir White is built for that power blocking one cut type of deal. Now you put him in the zone system and he's not going to look good at all. And everyone's going to think that he sucks, but he's going to go to the right situation. And he's going to look good again. The problem that it's a complete disconnect. And, you know, Mike Lombardi talks about it. To be a successful organization, everybody's got to be in line. It doesn't feel like the Raiders are like that, because it doesn't feel like the players that they have acquired fit the scheme that they're trying to run. Getsy's just trying to run his scheme, but the players aren't, it's not the right players. So just disappointed for both of our home teams there. Oh, finally, we got to talk about Sunday Night Football a little bit. Let's make this one quick, though. I'm sick of talking about the Chiefs.
You talk about the Kansas City referees.
I told you before the show, they're the NFL Lakers. You got to beat them by 20 because anything that's close is going to go their way. Anything that's close is going to go their way.
Bro, I don't know what Mahomes has done. I don't know what type of ritual he's been a part of, because this guy has more. He's getting on Brady level with these type of wins. Like, you're like, I can't believe they won this game. Like, bro, I cannot. We all had Atlanta. Well, BSC though did for sure.
About and then I just took the under on that one.
You did. You cashed. Good for you, man, on them, because literally the league, Mahomes, everyone put the Falcons in the position to win. Even though the refs cheated and did all of that pass interference, only thing that Raheem Morris has to do right there is kick a field goal. It's 5 minutes left in the game. Like,
yeah. Thank you.
It's 5 minutes left in the game. What are you doing?
He might be another guy that's more suited to be a coordinator.
He's out of there. I've seen enough already, Fred. Like, I've seen enough. What are you doing? I hate these young coaches when they get that obnoxiously aggressive. You're obnoxiously aggressive. This is still football. Kick the damn extra point.
How was that banner?
Kick the banner at the bottom. Extra point, man. What is going on with you, Raheem Morris? You cost all of us betters. We supposed to have an easy plus +3 cover and been playing for the money line on that last drive. And you stole that from us with your idiotic decision. Had not been moving the ball all night. Take the points. Your defense was playing well. Patrick Mahomes had an off night. What are you doing? I'm angry about that one, Spread.
Have an off night?
He was a company man. We know he's there. So we appreciate him, but it didn't help. It don't help when you got the coach who's going against everything. They probably sent him a fine this week. Vegas probably fined him. Like, bro, what the hell are you doing? We put you in perfect position.
And he's sitting up there looking confused with his arms crossed, grabbing his hat. I'm like, look at him. He can't even, he don't know what to do.
He's confused. Like, five, bro. Kick the field goal. What are you doing? Damn extra point.
All right, let's give out some winners for this weekend. The present. First one, we talked about them earlier, but if there's a chance to get right, it's against the New York Giants. Now, I know, I actually thought the Browns were going to beat the Giants, so I don't know what to make of that game, though. Five-star, and we didn't talk about it in our past, so I think that's relevant to our handicap here for this game tomorrow night. When you saw the Browns fall apart against the Giants, did you think that was a reason for us to upgrade this Giants team? Obviously, the loss to Minnesota doesn't look as bad now on opening day, as we see how good Minnesota has become. Or is this just another case of Cleveland, just being not really a good run franchise?
I didn't watch enough of that game because it was just such a bad game. I don't care about either one of those teams that much, so I wasn't really focused in on it. I know that Daniel Jones played a lot better. He was 24-34 for 236, two touchdowns, no turnovers against a really good Cleveland defense, so that's a good thing. Another thing, the Giants shut down the run, but we know the Cowboys, they don't really run the ball anyway, so that's not going to matter. This game, honestly, I'll probably be looking toward the Giants. I know that the Cowboys have owned them. They blew them out the last, like, three times, I want to say, that they played each other. It has.
You know, the only time the Cowboys lost in the last 10 times, you know who the starter was? The aforementioned Andy Dalton.
Yeah, exactly. they beat their ass. They beat their ass so bad twice last year, 49-17, 40-0. So you could take that as the Cowboys are going to be like, oh, we own these dudes. We're going to whoop their ass again. Or you could take it as I'm going to take it. Which coach I like better, Daboll? Who has the motivation from getting smashed twice? The Giants. Who has some confidence going into this game? The Giants. And if you look at their record this year, they played really well. They've been in all of the games. They didn't get blown out in any of these games. You know, so me, I'm leaning toward taking the Giants. I'm probably going to make an official play. It looks like it's headed that way to 6.5. If I can get like 6.5, about 7, I'll be on the
Giants. Yeah, just wait till about an hour before kickoff.
I won't be surprised if the Giants get money line ass. I'm not going to lie, bro. Dallas is sweet.
My main concern, Dexter Lawrence could be out for the Giants, and we know how much he needs that defense.
Oh, now that's huge. Yeah, now that's huge if he's out.
So keep an eye on that as well.
That's huge. But Dak sucks. So, you know, like I said, if the Giants can come get any type of rush on him, then they'll be in this game because the Giants do have one of the better offensive coaches in Daboll. And you've seen right now, man, the Cowboys' defense looks lost. Like, whatever Mike Zimmer is doing since he's came off his little sabbatical, it's not working. So, until I see something different, I'm fading the Cowboys. I'll be on the Giants plus 5.5.
Tino, I'm on the under here.
Same here.
The Giants are going to be able to run the ball. That's going to keep the clock moving. And we've already seen from McCarthy, he's going to try and run the ball even if it doesn't work. Yeah, reminds me of some of the frustrations I'm having with Vegas. They only look good when they spread it out. I understand running the ball is key to winning a football game, but at a certain point, you got to understand I don't have the personnel to do this, and I don't trust McCarthy to do that. I think he's just like Pierce. He's going to stick to it. You waste a couple downs, but that keeps the clock running. I'm on the under in this game, and I want to see that Lawrence news. If he were to play, I take the Giants. Otherwise, I might just lay off or hope that the Cowboys get an early score and watch that line move up, and you grab the end game, you know, around 10. But talk to me about how you're approaching it.
To be honest, I ran this number through my system, and my system is saying everything it points to under. Free game from the wager, right? The New York Giants, they 4.5 point. It moved to 5.5.
It moved to 5.5. People love Dallas.
Yeah, but whenever they open up right here, they're perfect 16-0 to the under. So in this situation, we have to just ride the under. For all these years, I don't think it'll change. We have to. And seeing how Dallas play, we already know the New York Giants are going to put the ball on the ground. Everybody else has been successful against that Dallas defense running the ball. So we're going to kill some clock. And Dak, trash. Just give the ball to Zeke. Hopefully he gets some yards and they get in the box whenever they could.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with Dallas, I'd say I can think of at least 15 teams that have a better backup running back. Like, how much better would they look with a Charbonnet, a Braylon Allen? I mean, these are all backups.
Yeah.
That would be a huge upgrade for Dallas in the way that they want to play. Let's move on to the college football world. Army's playing 13.5, taking on Temple. Two teams I'm not really familiar with, five stars, so I'm going to need your wisdom here.
I'm actually not as familiar as most times, you know, with these games on these guys either, because Army I saw play a little bit against Florida Atlantic. Same thing that they always do. They're going to, you know, run the option. They got a really good defense over there. Always got good defense with Army. Temple, big upset win last week. They beat Utah State at home 45-29, put up some points. Saw a good showing by their quarterback that they have under center over there, Simon. He had 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. He transferred over there from Rutgers this year. So he's kind of an upgrade for them at quarterback. This is going to be a Thursday night game, home game in Philadelphia. Army really, you know, used to that stadium from – that's where they played the Army-Navy game at for years. I'd probably lean Army just because, you know, they're a much better team. But, man, it's too much money on them for me to make it an official bet. Everyone's on Army on this game. So, you know, I like to be contrarian on this one. standalone spot like this, don't be surprised at all. Temple ends up covering this game. It's just too much money and too much love for Army on this one. So I like Army on the football side, but my handicap is telling me that Temple plus the points is probably the play.
All right, seems like a tough one to get involved with, Sino. And we know that's one thing. The books have to put up a number for every single game, but we get to choose which ones that we get involved with. Are you going to get involved with this one, Sino?
Nah, I ain't messing with the military.
All right, Sino said, don't draft me. Let's talk about Virginia Tech. They're traveling down to Miami. They're catching 19.5. Five star, this one might run on us too. I won't be surprised if it gets closer to 20, 21 by kickoff, because I think most of the public and Saturday morning bettors are going to be on Miami. But what side are you going to be on?
I'll be on Virginia Tech on this one. I think that they have a bounce back game from Kyron Drones. He had one of those plays. It was one of the most goofy plays. It's right up there with the butt fumble. Remember the butt fumble?
Sanchez.
With Sanchez, and right up there with the guy that's on ESPN and ran out the back.
Orlovsky.
Yeah, him too. It was right up there. He got sacked or something.
Ran out of the end zone and gave himself a safety.
Yeah, but Drones got sacked last week, and he tried to throw the ball away, and it went straight out the back of the end zone. he like threw it behind the field goal post behind him. It went straight out into the stands, so it was really funny. But Drones, this Virginia Tech team is really familiar with Miami. Miami's a tough squad. We know that. They got my guy over there, Cam Ward. He's became a household name now, superstar. We've seen him come all the way up from being a nobody, Incarnate Word, to Washington State and kind of, you know, getting a little buzz. But now he's the toast of the town. I think he's the favorite to
win
the
Heisman. Would you take him over Carson Beck and the NFL team?
No. Okay. No, I wouldn't. Just because Carson Beck has more size. Cam is going to be good, but we got to see how his athleticism translates. It looks good right now, but we've only seen really Kyler Murray beat that undersized guy that was quick enough, and Michael Vick, you know, to be quick enough, Lamar to be fast enough, you know. But Lamar is
Kyler Murray's like Olympic level athleticism,
bro. It's different. Yeah, he's number one draft pick in baseball, you know, and football. Yeah. So
I was disappointed he got drafted by my A's. He said, "Nah."
Cam Ward might be special like that though, so we'll see. But you don't know until you know. You know, it looks different on Sundays. We'll see how he looks on Sunday. We know he has a live arm. But just, you know, measurables and things like that, and the type of system that they run with Kirby over there having Carson in that pro system so long, we've seen Georgia quarterbacks do pretty good, you know, in the pros because of what they are taught at Georgia, the type of offense they've always ran, a pro-style offense over there. They never got into it. A lot of that spread stuff like the other teams, whereas in Cam has been playing pretty much spread everywhere he goes. Miami's changed their whole offense to make it where it's like shotgun 99% of the time for him. So yeah, we'll have to see, can he get used to getting under the center. But as far as in this game, I'm going to be on Virginia Tech. I know Miami is a fan favorite. It's Friday night. Everybody's going to be betting on Miami. So
yep. I'm going to be betting Miami too.
Yeah, I'm taking Virginia Tech in the points.
Cam Ward gave him the swagger they need, five-star. I definitely think, we know, the Hurricanes, their offense is explosive on the ground and in the air. I don't know what you see with the Hokies.
I don't see 20 points. I know that. That's a lot of points.
One thing we talked about earlier could be like that Notre Dame game. The boosters, right, they're obviously going to want to get their money and cover that spread. But I think Cam Ward knows if he's going to move up the draft board. These Friday night games are kind of like Sunday night games for the NFL. Where on Saturday, everybody watching their school. I mean, there's so many games going on. When you go on Friday night, it's kind of like a primetime game. It's a good opportunity to really showcase your skills.
Watch this, bro. Virginia Tech going to look like a whole different team on Friday. Remember I told you.
All right, cool. And I'm looking forward to that one. Normally, 20-point games don't really pique my interest. But
no,
we'll see
it's not going to be a 20-point game.
They turned the ball over so much, though, brother.
Yeah. All right. Virginia Tech Friday. Remember what I told you, how close this game is.
All right. That could be a fun one, and we'll be reviewing that one next week.
That's the official play for five-star is Virginia Tech plus 19.5.
Hey, you might wait, man. I think it's going to run. It's going to get
if we get to 21 and a half, that'll be even more.
I don't know if it goes that far, but you're probably going to get at least 20.5. You probably get an extra point.
The reason why I say that, Miami hasn't played jack. They play nobody. Florida sucks. Like, Florida's not good. God. They beat the hell out of FAMU. They beat the hell out of Ball State. USF was in the game with them until their quarterback got hurt. Before Brown got hurt, USF was going to cover against Miami. I don't know if y'all was watching that game or not, but he got injured. If he wouldn't have got injured, I think that USF would have covered
the game. What the spread was for that game, bro?
Yeah, it snowballed after he got injured. But
I just remember seeing the final score. It was like they put up like a 50 ball on them people.
Yeah, they scored all that in the fourth quarter because USF, now they're down. Their starting quarterback got injured in the beginning of the third quarter. They was right there with them. The score at halftime was 22-15. I know because I had South Florida plus the points first half. And in the second half, the first drive quarterback for South Florida who's outstanding. He's one of another guy to watch. Coming out in the portal, if he leaves South Florida, he can really, really play, man. Kid named Byron Brown. He can go, man. 6'3", 209, live arm, and he's very athletic. He hurt his leg, and after that, he couldn't keep shooting bullets with him. So now the defense is on the field too much and things like that, and it kind of snowballed. But Virginia Tech tough. They're not going to let Miami just mold him like that, bro. Virginia Tech is a different type of program in a game like this, where they've always been good on Friday nights. Go look through their program history on Virginia Tech playing on Friday nights.
A team that I really root for a lot is the Washington Huskies, but they lost their coach, their offensive coordinator, and their star quarterback. And then probably to add insult to injury, they lost to their heated rival last week in the Apple Cup as Washington State got the upset. As 4-point underdogs. Now Washington's an underdog, but they got to travel all the way across the country. They're taking on Rutgers. 5-star, they're catching 2.5. Usually that's a sign that the books want everybody to bet on Rutgers. Should we be looking at Washington here?
You're right on the money. We've been doing this a long time, Spread. We'll be on.
You take the 2.5 and you lay the 3.5, right?
We're going to be with Jed Fish, man. We're riding with Jed Fish on this one. As long as they slow down Monagai, which is the great running back for Rutgers, they'll be okay. Rutgers still struggles to throw the ball. They got the kid that came up from Minnesota. He got a long-ass name. Calico Magnus, I think is how you say it. Athletic kid, but you can't trust him in the pass game like that. I know they're going to be really hyped in Piscataway. We know they're going to be really hyped out there in Piscataway, New Jersey, man, because you know, they don't get a lot of primetime games where the nation's watching them, but I think Washington can keep it around because I like Washington's defense. I think they play some really good defense. What I don't like about Washington is their quarterback. I'm not a fan of their QB that transferred over from Mississippi State. Not a big fan of Will Rogers, but he was.
Isn't that like a famous American dude from like
the 50s? Yeah, he's like a cowboy. Yeah. He was like a cowboy, Will Rogers, wasn't he? But
that's before my time, and I'm an old man.
Yeah, Will Rogers. But Will Rogers transferred to Washington, man. But you know, I think Jed Fisher had those guys ready to play, and I just think Washington is still a more complete program than Rutgers, even though they lost so many people to the draft. Really, their whole team and Caleb DeBoers went to Alabama. But the numbers telling me what I need to know on this one, as you said, Spread. We've been doing this a long time. If you catch a 2.5 on the road, the pick is probably the plus 2.5, and we're going to stick to that.
Sino, you agree?
It's a no-brainer. Take the points. No money line. Take the plus 2.5. Simple as that.
Yeah.
All right.
Overtime, lost by one.
By one. There you go. And then you texted my phone. Shit. A money line. Take the points.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
All right, 5-star, we've talked a lot of football today, but it's time to reward the people that have stuck with us here and give them the winner for this weekend. The famous segment, the Ball and Parlay. Well, I'll tell you where I'm going, Sino, because I'm stealing from you. I'm on the same thing as you for tomorrow night. I'm taking the under on the Giants and the Cowboys. I expect to see a lot of running the ball. And these primetime Thursday night unders, they've been undefeated so far. And you know what? I like to ride a streak because a streak can go for a long time. It can only end once. So I don't believe none of that their due thing. I'm going to ride the streak. Give me the under for Thursday night football.
Just like I always say in the show every time, man, when a train is going 1,000,000 miles per hour, we jump on it. You don't jump in front of it because you know what's going to happen. Right. So for real. Hey, if you get hit by the train, that's your problem. Yeah. If you crash with the train, hey, man, I just crashed at the moment, but we get back on it. But, man, Spread, you took the good play. You, matter of fact, like Five Star said, the Dallas Cowboys trash. We make it easy. I take the points. That's going to be my ball and parlay for tomorrow.
All right, undering the points always is a good way to approach these primetime games. It's almost getting a little bit too easy, right? Yeah. All right. So let's see if they flip it on us, but there's just too many casual bettors that bet the overs to where the books aren't getting killed.
Yeah, they're going to be teasing also, so we're going to see a different Giants teams.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, too. They kind of kept it out of teaser protection range so far with that 5.5. A lot of the guys won't go through zero. I just stay away from it. But if it hits 6, you got to think they'll have some liability there as well. Plus, number could go all the way to 51. You'd be teasing the Cowboys money line at 51. But we've seen these favorites of 6 points or more really haven't done well at all until the Jets upset the apple cart last weekend or last Thursday night. So 1 week away from that performance, the first team favored by 6 points or more to actually win straight up in the NFL this season was the New York Jets last Thursday. So maybe that trend continues, but I think the under trend continues as well. Five Star, what you going to give out for the official? You already gave out some winners, but what's the five star winner?
The official play for me is I'm going to do what Sino said, do not do. When a train's running, you don't get in front of it. I feel like every train got to come to a stop sooner or later. Give me Virginia Tech, man. Give me Virginia Tech.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah, plus 20. I'm going to take, we'll say 20 because we say it's running up. So it's 19.5 right now. I really want 21. So if you can get 3 touchdowns, that'll be perfect because that'll give Virginia Tech an opportunity to bounce back. Virginia Tech just hasn't played inspired football this year, but believe me, they have talent. I've watched the team. I'm very familiar with their players. They have some really good quarterbacks, some really good offensive pieces. Tootin is a really good running back, and they have some really good wide receivers. Their defense is good. They had 17 starters return, so they're just underachieving right now, but I think that this Miami game gets their attention. So I'm going to be on Virginia Tech. I think it's disrespectful to that program and to that rivalry for them to be getting 3 touchdowns. So I'll go with Virginia Tech plus the 21. We're going to say I'll buy it 21 somewhere.
It's still weird for me to see these big games on Friday night by far. For so many years, they allowed the high schools to shine that night, but too much money involved. And they said, get us back on TV.
We need it. They wanted it all. All right, guys, we went long today. We went for about 1 hour and 30 minutes. But you told me before down in the comments that you guys don't mind. You really enjoy rolling with the way of the world. We take off now on Mondays because I got this stuff going on with this film. So Wednesdays, we have a lot to catch up with. And we also want to get you guys prepared for Thursday and Friday's games. We'll be back on Friday with all the weekend plays. Anything for the people, Spread, before we get out of here?
No, man, I'm excited to talk to you about this Friday slate because this is one of the toughest ones. And, Sino, you know I run numbers. I feel like the sports book, I came up with a lot of numbers that were really close to the lines they posted. So we're going to have to rely on some of this film study that I know you guys excel at. To really find the winners this week. Just plugging numbers into the model didn't get me nothing. So can't wait to talk about these games on Friday.
What about you, Sino?
Of course, man. We dedicating this to my guy, Kingston. And I'm trying to get back on my horse and ride it. So, Five Star, don't be surprised if I'm texting you and asking if you've been watching the Spread. The numbers ain't been working for me neither, big brother. We got to do some adjustments.
Trust your eyes, guys. Those are always the rules. Trust your eyes. A lot of tennis coming on tonight, too, man. Some China Open is kicked off. I was on the last night. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. As always, hit that like button. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do. We're everywhere where there's air. Whether you're listening to us on iHeart right now, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you're watching us on YouTube, we appreciate you for tuning in. It's us versus the machine. You are the wager world. As always, I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. This is the wager world. We'll see you guys on Friday.